as you can probably hear, it's a bit of a grey day here in Dvor Kraljeva. But the brightest thing I've seen so far is a cafe called Santorini, which has a little picture of Greece on the window. But there's more to Dvor Kraljeva, I have been told, than first meets the eye. And I'm on my way to the zoo to find out.
Eureka, the Siberian tiger, flares up as I visit her enclosure. I'm in the big cat house at Dvor Kraljeva Zoo with Erich Kochner, a zoologist and my guide for the day.
Kolem sebe máme zvířata z různých částí země, což je trošku netypické pro naši zoologickou zahradu.
Here in the carnivore house we are surrounded by animals from all over the world, which is slightly unusual for our zoo here, because we actually specialize in African fauna, and more specifically in large African hoofed animals. Actually, in Dvor Kraljeva you can see the biggest herd of giraffes in captivity in the world. And you can see the biggest herd of zebra as well, that is, outside of Africa. But right now we are in the so-called Universal Pavilion, which means that you can see alongside those African animals some interesting and rare animals from other continents as well.
Meanwhile, over in the primate house, it's feeding time. On the menu are peanuts, which seem to be a hit with the chimpanzees. In the feeding frenzy, I nearly waved goodbye to my microphone when one of the chimpanzees lost interest in shelling peanuts and tried the same technique on my radio equipment instead. Dvor Kraljeva Zoo spans some 28 hectares and, in terms of the number of animals it contains, is the largest zoo in the Czech Republic. In communist times, it was one of the best-known zoos in the country, with buses of workers arriving at the zoo from all over Czechoslovakia. But does it still get a lot of visitors today? Erich Kochner again.
Zoologická zahrada ve Dvoře Králové tím, že ta zoo se specializovala na africkou.
The zoo here in Dvor Králové became famous for all of the African animals in its collection. When it started to specialize in African fauna 40 years ago, this is when it really got famous. It was presented as the first safari park in Eastern Europe, and people from all over the former Czechoslovakia came to see it. It got a lot of media attention from even further afield as well. And its reputation lasted right up until today. We get a lot of visitors from Poland, Germany, Slovakia. The zoo is well known throughout Europe.
Prostě ta zahrada má dnes už evropský věhlas.
My next stop in Dvor Kraljeva was a meeting with Jana Mikiskova, one of the guides at the town's tourist information office. We met at Dvor Kraljeva's most central meeting point.
We are standing on the square of TG Masaryk. This is a historical center of the Dvor Kraljeva nad Labem. In the middle of the square is a Marian pillar. And on the right side is a statue of Záboj.
Okay, and can you tell me a bit about the history of Dvor Kraljeva? Because it seems to me a very historic town.
First information about town Dvor are from years 1270, but we haven't a special information about history because it isn't sure. In 14th century was Dvor Kraljeva a dowry town of Czech Queens, and Dvor Kraljeva is dowry town of Czech Queens and now.
Dvor Kraljeva's heyday lasted right up until the 17th century. Then came the Thirty Years' War, and the town took a bit of a bashing, with Swedish, Saxon and Imperial forces all ransacking and plundering the settlement. As if that wasn't bad enough, then along came the Seven Years' War, and the ransacking and plundering started all over again. Dvor Kraljeva may have been all but destroyed on several occasions, but some old buildings do remain, like the town hall, claiming somewhat dubiously to date from the 16th century. And, as Jana Mikiskova says, it isn't all bad to be a resident of Dvor Kraljeva in modern times either.
I like this town. This town is good for life.
Why?
Because we can do a sport, there's very nice nature, and Dvor is only 40 kilometers far from giant mountains, and it's a very interesting place.
The next stop on my tour with Jana is Fignerova Street.
We are standing in front of the municipal museum. The museum has three buildings. In first building is exhibition about history of the town Dvůr Králové. Second building is on the right side, and there are an exhibition or concerts or different activities. And in the third, this building can't visit people.
This is really super. This is just some kind of kids' part of the museum.
Yes, there's exhibitions for children, and it's interactive exhibitions.
Jaroslava Tomankova is the woman behind the exhibition entertaining Dvůr Králové's younger citizens.
Right now we have an exhibition going on which takes brain teasers and mind games as its theme. As you can see, the children are really making the most of it. They have to consider the problems, engage their logic and concentrate on what is going on. So they're having to work hard and they're absorbed in the exhibition, which they seem to be enjoying. So I think this has been a rather successful exhibition.
As Jana Mikiskova tells me, Dvůr Králové is also quite an industrial town. The town traditionally made textiles, but in modern times it's become more famous for its chocolate factory and its Christmas decorations. Mr. Sharma is giving me a tour of the Christmas decoration factory, which sits on the edge of the town. Groups and individuals can visit the factory too, with a bit of prior arrangement. I'm not sure that such a factory would ever be open to the public in Britain. The whirring that you heard there was the sound of 1,000-degree flames, which are used to melt the glass into shape. Back in the comfort of his office, Mr. Sharma tells me the history of the factory.
Předtím to byli vlastně perlaři, ti začali koncem 18. století. Pan Kinčo, který...
This used to be a bead-making factory. It was set up at the end of the 19th century by a Mr. Kinčo, who learned his trade in Vienna. It was a rather successful factory, but then during the First World War, Japanese prisoners of war were sent here to work. So they learned the secret of how to make these glass beads, and after the war, they went back to Japan and started to make these beads there, and priced us out of the market. So we stopped making beads and started making blown glass Christmas decorations. We became a cooperative in 1931 and have been making Christmas decorations ever since.
Založili družstvo vánoční ozdoby, který se zabývá výrobou vánočních ozdob až do dneška.
I returned from Dvůr Králové all covered in glitter and with much more information about the Christmas decoration factory than there's time to put here. So look out for a Christmas special on the making of Czech blown glass Christmas decorations, or alternatively, get down to Dvůr Králové to take a look for yourself.